Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 21st of July, 2014, the podcast that throws glass in stone houses. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again this week is Daniel Wilcox. Daniel, welcome back to the show.
Hello.
Oh, we finally got you back on. We've had scheduling conflicts, and then we had technical problems, and we actually recorded it last night. And I thought it went great, and this time it messed up on my end.
It's always something.
Yeah, so here we are, Sunday morning, flying by the seat of our pants. There's not going to be much of a chance to edit this, so... Well, anyway, it's great to have you back.
It's great to be back.
All right, first, a quick correction. Back when we covered the Hobby Lobby case, I mentioned that Ella was the only one of the four contraceptives they complained about that could possibly prevent the implantation of a fertilized egg in the uterine wall. Turns out, it may also be possible for a copper IUD to prevent implantation, and that was another of the four contraceptives they were complaining about. Now, like Ella, there's no direct evidence it can stop the implantation of an embryo, but it's the same idea. It seems to work a little too well, given what we know of the mechanisms, and so one possible explanation for this is that it may prevent implantation, but none of the studies on IUDs have shown that users of these copper IUDs lose more embryos than women who don't use contraception. So, again, it's iffy at best. Okay, so let's secede from the news of the bogus. And here's something interesting. An initiative to break up California into six separate states that has more than enough signatures to get on the ballot.
Well, that sounds promising.
It might be. It looks like they want to divide California into six different states. And so up in the northern part, you have Jefferson, where you have places like Chico and Redding. And apparently there actually is a town called Eureka.
It's the state motto of California.
Ah.
Of course, you already know that.
Is it also running naked through the streets after getting a bath? They frown on that, don't they?
I'm not sure.
Then there's North California. And dang it, my cell phone. You see, always when we're live, when we're live, something like this happens. Okay. North California has Santa Rosa, Napa, and, oh, not San Francisco. San Francisco is just underneath that, in Silicon Valley, which is San Francisco, San Jose, and Salinas. Over next to that, you have Central California, which is where you have Stockton, Modesto, and Fresno. And then down below that on the coast is West California. This is where you have Santa Barbara, Los Angeles, Anaheim, and Long Beach. And then way down below you have South California, which has Riverside and San Diego. So the plan is backed by venture capitalist Tim Draper, who was an early investor of Skype, and he's the one who won the Bitcoins the government auctioned off after seizing them from Silk Road. And he's also been one of the big backers of Tesla Motors. Politically, he's known for opposing the ridiculous financial regulations known as Sarbanes-Oxley and for his support of school choice initiatives.
Monster.
So of California, Draper says, quote, "We pay the most for education and we're 46th. We pay among the most for prisons and we are among the highest recidivism rate, so we have a failed state."
Isn't that kind of redundant?
A failed state? He also said, quote, "California as it is ungovernable. It is more and more difficult for Sacramento to keep up with the social issues from the various regions of California. With six Californias, people will be closer to their state governments and states can get a refresh."
Of course, they won't all be named California. That would just be confusing.
Nah, they're the Jefferson and then North California and all those. But it is a good point. You know, you have much better say in a more localized government than you do in a bigger one. The people of Rhode Island have a more say in their state government than the people in, say, Texas.
It makes sense, yes.
So Draper says they've got 1.3 million signatures where they only needed 808,000. "Still, I know how these things go. The Board of Elections will stay up till the wee hours of the morning, rejecting every signature they can justify, and we've talked about that before."
Oh, dear.
Political candidates, you know, they have to get, especially third-party candidates like Libertarian candidates and independent candidates, have to get all these signatures on the ballot. And of course, the Democrats and the Republicans don't want the competition, so they keep throwing it out.
Of course.
And they do that with referenda, too. So, according to USA Today, quote, "He's championed the political breakup of the state for over a year, but it's taken until recently for the plan to gain some momentum." Yeah, you gotta love how they're wording that.
Certainly curious.
Yeah, a year is not long for something like this. I mean, they're trying to make it sound like it was languishing for all that time. This happened very quickly as these things go, so it really sounds like there's a lot of support behind it. Of course, the Democrats are complaining about it because it'll actually give Republicans in the state more representation, which basically means that they don't really care about this democracy thing after all.
It's all about the power monopoly.
Well, according to the Democratic strategist Steve Mavilio, quote, "This is a colossal and divisive waste of time, energy, and money that will hurt the California brand. It's unfortunate that Mr. Draper is putting his millions into this effort to split up our state rather than help us face our challenges." Yeah, you know what? Unity is strength!
Oh, lovely.
His symbol's going to be the bundle of sticks tied together.
It's called a fasciz, I believe.
Yeah, which is where we get the word...
fascism!
There you go. But no, I think this could be a good thing, so it'll definitely be something to watch.
It's certainly interesting.
Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide a means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv, or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. So we've covered all the doublespeak that politicians and pundits go into, and specifically, I made a video last year about how people use the passive voice, and you know what the passive voice is.
Yeah, it's like the difference between the recording went wrong and Shane messed up the recording.
I'm blaming Windows on this one. I did it exactly the same way I've been doing it every week for 3 years, but it's, who knows? The passive voice is where you kind of sneak the subject off into a corner somewhere and hope no one notices.
Yeah.
And in this video I had done, there had been a meme going around which read, "When you think owning a gun is more of a right than being cared for when you are sick, you really need to re-examine your priorities."
Being cared for by whom?
Exactly! That's the passive voice. It's a nice literary tool for prose writers, but when it happens in a public statement or political discussion, it's usually an indication that something hinky's going on. So the problem is it conceals the real subject of the sentence, and for some reason, they don't want you to know what it is. In this case, they're covering up the fact that you'll have to be cared for by others, who would then be forced to provide you with the service. But it can also go the other way. Politicians use it all the time to conceal their own culpability. Case in point, Rodney Balco looked at a lot of reports about police shootings and found that passive voice was being used all over the place to shift the blame from the police officers. He first gave a fictitious example to explain his point. Proper reporting in the active voice would have read, "Mayberry Deputy Barney Fife shot and killed a burglary suspect last night." What we read instead is...
You know, I actually just got the reference he made there.
Barney Fife?
Andy Griffith?
Yeah! I made that reference a few weeks ago to a couple of the other co-hosts, and they didn't know who I was talking about.
I sleep the TV land, so...
Oh, that is a classic. How can people not know Barney Fife?
And the theme song is just so catchy.
Yeah, it's a nice earworm. It's a great way to get rid of other earworms. That's how good an earworm it is. If you ever got that song stuck in your head and it's a song you really don't like and you need to get it out of your head, get the Andy Griffith song in your head and that earworm will be gone. Okay, so anyway, what we read instead is, "Last night, a burglary suspect was shot and killed in an officer-involved shooting." Notice, no mention of the deputy at all.
And we're going to be seeing that term a lot, so...
we'll look at it. So, Here's some real-world examples he gives. First is the LAPD describing a shooting where an officer is not involved. Quote, on February 10, 2014, around 6:10 p.m., the victim was in the parking lot in the 13640 block of Burbank Boulevard to the rear when he was confronted by the suspect. The suspect produced a semi-automatic handgun and fired numerous times, striking the victim in the torso. Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty clear as to who did what happened. Mm-hmm. Also, notice how they specified semi-automatic.
Yeah, I mean, they're really going into detail there. Now, here's the LAPD describing a shooting by LAPD officers. Quote, the officers attempted to take the subject into custody by using a taser, but it was ineffective. The suspect then ran towards the officers, still armed with the sword, and an officer-involved shooting occurred. Yep, officer-involved shooting. Here's another one. Quote, when the suspect continued to advance on the officer while refusing to comply with his repeated commands and...
officer-involved shooting.
Occurred, and they even have a little abbreviation for it, OIS. Like it's something official or something. Here's another one. Quote, while still in a position of cover, the officers encountered a male suspect who was armed with a weapon, at which time an
officer-involved shooting occurred.
Yeah. And I love how the phrasing makes it sound like the shooting is no one's fault. You know, the officers are just standing around going, wow, did you see that? That was an officer-involved shooting. My, how did that happen?
I wonder if there's any significance to their repeated use of occurred as well. It's just, I noticed a pattern there. And
well, that's a nice little passive voice type thing, too. If something occurred, it just makes it sound like it happened on its own, as opposed to someone actually doing it. So here's another example, after yet another botched DEA drug raid. You know, they raided the wrong house. They pulled an innocent 13-year-old girl from her bed at gunpoint. The girl vomited, had an asthma attack, and passed out. Well, according to the family, the agents threatened to kill her dogs if she couldn't stop them barking. Here's what the DEA said in a press release by way of apology. Quote, we sincerely regret that while attempting to execute an arrest warrant for a member of this drug trafficking organization, the innocent McKay family was inadvertently affected by this enforcement operation.
Wait, who was attempting to execute the arrest warrant? The McKay family or the officers?
Wait, while attempting to execute an arrest warrant for a member of this drug trafficking organization, the innocent McKay family, it does sound like the McKay family was once trying to execute the warrant. That's how sloppily they worded this to try and make the police not be the subject of the sentence. And what about inadvertently affected? If George Orwell could speak, he'd be screaming out, I warned you! There was another case in Georgia where a deputy shot a 10-year-old boy in the leg. According to the TV reporters covering the shooting, quote, Sheriff Wooten said a deputy, who was not named, was approaching the property when a dog ran up to him. The deputy's gun fired one shot, missing the dog and hitting the child. It was not clear if the gun was accidentally fired by the deputy.
You know, if only they had something like, you know, a safety that would prevent that sort of thing from happening.
Yeah. But listen to the way it's worded. You know, the deputy's gun fired one shot. Like, the deputy's gun just jumped out of its holster and began firing all on its own.
Well, I guess gun control people are right. Guns do kill people.
But, I mean, this is something that has a huge effect on the public and potential jurors in cases. They hear, the suspect did this or that. And what happens is, unconsciously, you visualize the suspect actually taking the action. When it's the police officer, it's always passive voice, so you don't have that visualization. You don't actually picture in your head the police officer's doing it. And that's just one way they psychologically manipulate people.
It's amazing how many things we just don't think about, just don't notice. The way people speak, why we do things, why we say things a certain way.
And this is something that's really important to recognize when it crops up, so watch out for that passive voice. History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's LibertyClassroom.com. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, LibertyClassroom.com teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com. Okay, so you remember when we reported on those idiots that were protesting Google sending buses to pick up their employees? They called themselves the Counterforce?
Vaguely.
Well, apparently this is the same group. And we've talked about Uber, that ride-sharing service where people go online to pay people to pick them up and drive them places.
Yeah, I see their ads all the time on Facebook. It looks like it's, you know, good money.
I know, they're posting jobs for it in the Charlotte area here. They're saying, you know, Uber drivers wanted, so I guess they're getting started up around here, too. And it sounds like a really cool idea.
Well, it's more competition for the cab cartel.
That can only be a good thing. But guess what? These Counterforce idiots are protesting that in Seattle, going so far as to step out in front of Uber cars and blocking their way. And there's a picture of them blocking one of the cars, and they're holding a banner that appears to read, "Stop the Uberman," whatever that's supposed to mean.
Well, they're trying to invoke Nietzsche's Übermensch to, it's an emotional tactic.
Although, this is a peeve of mine, please. It's Nietzsche. Not Nietzsche.
Nietzsche, sorry.
That's how you pronounce it. Nietzsche sounds like baby talk. Oh, the Nietzsche, weechie, weechie, weechie. No, it's Nietzsche. That's a little peeve of mine.
That's good to know. Thanks.
Yeah, every time I hear someone say Nietzsche, I think, yeah, this person doesn't really know what he's talking about.
Well, thanks a lot.
Insulting the co-host, that's a great way to get him back, isn't it? You should be used to it by now. All right, so here's what the group said on their blog, quote, "Sometimes the capitalists try to sound like anarchists." Don't try to parse that sentence too closely or your head will explode.
I hear it all the time from classical anarchists, anarcho-communists, certain mutualists.
Yeah. Travis Kalanick, and that's the co-founder of Uber, wants to undermine every city hall he encounters and render its laws meaningless.
Wait, these are
anarchists? Wait a minute, what kind of anarchists are these people?
Hey, I was about to say that.
He hates the law, and so do we, so we're protesting him, I don't know. But in the end, he wants the laws to favor him and him alone. He is the Uberman, after all. And if the state wants to keep him down, then he should be free to hijack the state and make it serve his ends. Like the besieged capitalists in the Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged, people like Travis Kalanick will compete with everyone on their way to the top, trampling on their workers.
And of course they have to invoke Rand. I think that would qualify under either poisoning the well or a guilt by association fallacy.
Yeah, or maybe ad hominem or something like that. But they go on with, say, and ignoring ghosts like Sophia. Now, Sophia refers to a 6-year-old girl who was killed in a traffic accident involving an Uber driver named Syed Muzaffar. The girl's parents are suing Uber for wrongful death, and I read through their complaint. They don't even try to claim that he was actually giving a ride for someone for Uber at the time, just that he was, quote, logged into the Uber app, which could simply mean that his cell phone was turned on. You know how those smartphone apps work. So as much as I sympathize with the parents, I mean, they lost a child, but that lawsuit's completely bogus. And it's really shameful of this Counterforce group to use it to slander all Uber drivers and the company itself.
Yeah, that does seem a little...
desperate?
Yeah. That's the word I'm looking for.
But I mean, really, what's their beef? Uber's competing with the cab companies who've been enjoying this nice little government-sponsored cartel. Now they're facing some actual competition. Well, boo-hoo-hoo.
Oh, poor me. They must be PMSing.
Oh, we're going to hear it from the feminists because you said that.
Well, no, no. AA slogan, poor me syndrome.
Ah, okay. Okay. But everyone still feel free to complain to the feminists about it. You can do that little quote mine and just put it all up and get all the feminists going about how this podcast is horrible. So I'm sure that'll show me. Yeah, it won't, like, drive listeners to me and increase revenues or anything like that. You say you don't like Bitcoin? Why not? Oh, because it's not gold. No problem. Just go to coins.bogosity.tv and you'll be taken to Coinable, where you can buy gold or silver coins or bars with your Bitcoins, with literally up-to-the-minute spot pricing. Now there's no reason not to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Whether you're a Bitcoin miner, service operator, Bitcoin business owner, or market speculator, you can get gold and silver from reputable dealers. And Coinable has Bitcoin liquidity for fast processing of your order. Coinable even utilizes a special shipping infrastructure to ensure that your investment arrives safely at your door. And you know what? By going to coins.bogosity.tv, you won't pay a penny more, excuse me, a Satoshi more for your purchase. But you'll help this podcast. You can even sell your gold and silver for Bitcoin as well. Coinable is your Bitcoin to gold marketplace. So go to coins.bogosity.tv and start turning your Bitcoins into gold now. Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy. I've been very satisfied with GoDaddy's services and their wonderful 24/7 customer support for over 10 years now. So I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or other service and get 35% off with the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet hosting. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. And now it's time to engage the hyperbole of this week's biggest bogon emitter. And this week, it goes to Damian Linker for his article, How Liberalism Became an Intolerant Dogma. And we should probably give him props for realizing how intolerant and ridiculous progressive liberalism has become, but there's a big problem here. He blames it on libertarians.
Why? They hate us.
Here's what he says, quote, "The rise of dogmatic liberalism is the American left-wing expression of the broader trend that Mark Lilla identified in a recent blockbuster essay for The New Republic. The reigning dogma of our time, according to Lilla, is libertarianism." I mean, first of all, if only that were true, am I right?
Yeah.
Let's listen to more of what he says. Quote, "At its deepest level, libertarianism is a mentality, a mood, a presumption, a prejudice in favor of the liberation of the autonomous individual from all constraints originating from received habits, traditions, authorities, or institutions."
How heinous!
Well, and it's not even strictly true. I mean, we don't have a problem with habits or traditions or institutions. We only have a problem when those things are forced on other people. That's what we complain about.
Hey, listen, you can believe in your sky daddy, just don't force me to.
Exactly. Quote, "What makes libertarianism a dogma is the inability or unwillingness of those who espouse it to accept that some people might choose, for morally legitimate reasons, to dissent from it." That's the whole idea of libertarianism!
Want to swear fealty to someone? Want to give them a portion of your income for whatever reason? Go ahead, do it.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about this in part 6 of Atheism and Libertarianism. You know, if you want to have, you know, go somewhere and have your own little, you know, communist commune or whatever it would call, whatever you'd call it, go right ahead. As long as you don't force anyone to participate, we're fine with it. If you want to set up a factory and run it the Marxist way, go for it.
Might even convince me to join if it works.
If it works, yeah. I mean, that's the big thing, is it? If it works. And if you really are confident that it works, then why do you need force to get people to go along from it? So as far as I can see, this is just more projection, because the state is what uses force to people who don't want to go along with it. So they're the ones unwilling to accept that some people might have very good reasons for going and doing something else. All right, this one's a bit long, but bear with me. It's revealing. Quote, on a range of issues, liberals seem not only increasingly incapable of comprehending how or why someone would affirm a more traditional version of the human good, but inclined to relegate dissenters to the category of moral monsters who deserve to be excommunicated from civilized life and sometimes coerced into compliance by the government. Okay, so that's a good complaint of modern liberalism.
Or religions.
He goes on, quote, the latter tendency shows how, paradoxically, the rise of libertarian dogma can have the practical effect of increasing government power and expanding its scope. This happens when individuals look to the government to facilitate their own liberation from constraints imposed by private groups, organizations, and institutions within civil society. In such cases, the government seeks to bring those groups, organizations, and institutions into conformity with uniform standards that ensure the unobstructed personal liberation of all, even if doing so requires that these private entities are forced to violate their distinctive visions of the good.
You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Yeah. He needs to get a dictionary, I think. But I mean, you know, the whole idea of libertarianism is that we won't be looking to government to do these things. We'll do them on our own, and we'll seek our own solutions, and we'll try a whole bunch of things, and we'll keep what works and discard what doesn't. So, quote, as the old, flagrantly illiberal saying goes, if you want to make an omelet, you've got to break some eggs.
I'm not sure how that's...
That sounds very liberal to me and very anti-libertarian.
And he seems... He reminds me of, Andrew Schlafly, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's the guy who did Conservapedia, right?
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, he really has some good criticisms of modern liberalism. You know, he talks about the Brandon Eich thing with Mozilla, where he was made to resign as CEO because apparently he doesn't like gay marriage.
Hey, I like Ike. Sorry, I had to make that reference.
I don't really have an opinion on Ike, but I mean, that's a ridiculous reason to get rid of the CEO. I'm sorry.
Just disclaimer, I'm not opposed to gay marriage. I just had to make the, that's a reference to one presidency or election.
Yeah, Dwight Eisenhower. That was like his campaign slogan was, I like Ike. And of course, all their ridiculous stuff about the Hobby Lobby decision. And he's also justly, and if you've watched Stossel, he's gone into this quite a bit. All these liberal campuses, these college campuses, whenever conservatives start speaking out, it's like, oh, we have to stop them from speaking out, and they're violating their free speech and everything. And so he talks against all of those things, which is good. And then he says, quote, with traditional faith in rapid retreat over the past decade, liberals have begun to grow increasingly religious about their own liberalism, which they are treating as a comprehensive view of reality and the human good. So basically exactly what we've been complaining about on this podcast for who knows how long. But here's the thing. How the heck in hockey sticks are libertarians responsible for that?
Like I said, we don't get along very well, trust me.
Yeah, it's once more, we see how statists of all stripes just don't want to be accountable for their own actions and positions. And he even tries to claim people like Locke, Montesquieu, Jefferson, Madison, de Tocqueville, and Mill as the, quote, leading theoreticians of liberalism. But that's in the classically liberal sense, which is libertarian. And modern progressive liberalism espouses everything those men opposed. Which means that Damon Linker has put himself proudly forward as this week's biggest bogon emitter. Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. backup sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.pagosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.pagosity.tv and get LastPass now. And now it's time to interminably discombobulate this week's...
It's Extraordinary!
Sorry, I missed that. I was killing a bug. Could you do it again? No, I'm just kidding. And this week it goes to Mike Dawson for his ridiculous arguments about gun control. And what he has here on his Tumblr is this really long graphic, which has artwork that's like five levels below XKCD. So he's talking about gun control and he says, "When I hear the word rifle, I think of something that looks like this," and he draws something that looks more like a shotgun.
I think it was supposed to be like an old-time rifle, a musket or something, or...
I don't know. Muskets aren't rifles anyway, so... But as I understand it, rifles more often look a lot like this, and he draws it with the stock and the pistol grip and the clip and everything.
How scary!
It looks bad. He says, "What on earth is this thing? What kind of disconnect do you have with reality to think you need to own one?" Well, the thing is, he might could easily be drawing the same rifle. You just take off the wooden stock and put on the black plastic one. You know, everything else is the same. It makes no sense to me. It's a version of the world that feels entirely disconnected from the one I live in.
Well, maybe that should give you a hint. Sorry.
Okay.
Not that.
And we're doing it live. We'll step on each other. It's fine. "I was at a comics convention in Chicago recently. At some point, someone says to me, 'I think there's a guy with a gun in here.' Instantly, I feel afraid. Is this happening? I see him for just a split second, and him has a little asterisk on it. And at the bottom, the asterisk says, 'Of course it's a him.'"
Because women never use guns.
Yeah, that's not at all sexist. "Is this really about to happen? He's holding a gun. Looks like a rifle. But then he's gone. The fear fades. And now I feel angry. Maybe it was just someone in cosplay with a stupid choice of costume. Or maybe Illinois has some kind of open carry law. I don't know. I actually think they're pretty restrictive as far as gun control goes, but... I read about these fools walking into places with their guns, making a point about their rights. But what about my right to not feel terrorized?"
Your rights end where my feelings begin.
"You made me feel bad, so you can't do it."
Also, I bet he wouldn't be nearly as upset if the man was dressed as a police officer.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You're in control of how you feel. No one else is. You know, no one else should be required to conform to your paranoia. So he goes on. "Or more importantly, as the father of a victim of gun violence recently asked, what about his son's right to live?" Now, come on. He has no evidence whatsoever that this guy's up to no good.
He looks scary, though.
But, I mean, if you think about it, how many people go through their entire lives without committing a violent crime of any kind? And even if you can say, well, there's a chance that this person might be at some point in his life, what are the chances he's going to do it, you know, at that particular hour?
Didn't you do an analysis on this, or?
Not on this specifically, but I've talked about things like that before. You know, we've talked about prior probability. So, yeah, the prior probability of him being about to take that gun and shoot down a bunch of people is really, really, really low. "Who are these nutcases fighting even the most basic reasonable reforms?" You mean reforms that have never, ever, ever been shown to work and have the opposite effect of the one intended?
Well, that's because states without gun control are so close.
But then why aren't the states without gun control having even more violent crime?
I don't know, maybe because you don't want to shoot an armed man.
Do this yourself. Get that list that the Brady campaign did of all the states and how they ranked their gun laws. You know, and like California was the most restrictive, and then you go all the way down to the least restrictive. Plot that on the x-axis of an XY scatter plot. And then on the y-axis, you know, pick what you want, you know, murder rate, violent crime rate, things like that. And of course, it'll be scattered. But when you plot the trend line, what you find is that you have more murders and more violent crimes, the more restrictive the gun laws are. And that's even true when you look at just gun crimes, gun homicides, and violent crimes committed with a firearm.
I wonder, that's interesting.
How do they see the world? It's insane to me. It feels entirely disconnected from my perception of reality. Well, then maybe it's your perception of reality that's the problem here. Okay, then he goes off into this tangent on marriage equality, and he talks about the fact that just, you know, in the last few years, there's been this really big move toward marriage equality, which has usually been done either by referendum or by the courts striking down bad laws and things like that. But he's lamenting the fact that the same isn't happening with his beloved gun control. And he says, the truth is, after Newtown, gun laws have been relaxed, not tightened. Well, gun laws were being relaxed before Newtown. And the whole time they've been relaxed, violent crime and homicide rates have been going down.
There's also that question of, were they going down before they relaxed the...
Oh, yes, they were. Absolutely. They've been going down for a while now.
So it's sort of hard to establish a causal relationship, just be playing devil's advocate here.
Well, you know, you have to... They say correlation is not causation, but if you don't have a correlation, if you don't even have that much, what basis do you have for your claim?
I suppose.
Because, I mean, he's talking about, oh, you know, ever since Newtown, gun laws are being relaxed, and that kind of suggests that we're all going to, you know, have these rednecks with guns coming and gunning us down. That's not what happens. It's not happening.
Well, what about my right to not walk, to walk into someone's home and not have a gun in there?
Well, if it's your home, then you can make the rules and you can say, I don't want guns in my home. If it's someone else's home, just go somewhere else.
All right.
All right. So again, he's talking about the gay marriage thing, and he says, I want guns to be next, but I should know that it has nothing to do with the natural course of history. History doesn't care which side I'm on. The universe doesn't just naturally make things right. People fight to change things. At least that's the version of the world that makes the most sense to me. So that's kind of telling. He thinks, you know, fighting is the way of doing things, and yet he accuses other people of being violent.
Well, I can certainly understand and respect the idea of, you know, standing up for what you believe in, but you're forcing people to,
I mean, it's not like slaves fighting for their freedom, you know, and sneaking around with the Underground Railroad. He's talking about stopping people from doing something that poses no harm or threat to anyone else. And that's just the long and the short of it. So, you know, on Tumblr, you have the interminable nested comments, and at the end of all those, he posts a comment, and he says, quote, fear of strangers who walk into public places holding guns isn't irrational. It is unquestionably the most rational response possible. So he thinks absolute paranoia is rational.
That sounds about right.
He also says, quote, gun people and their posturing about masculinity when it comes to this stuff are missing the point. Yeah.
Does he give an example, or?
No, he just talks about, you know, I guess he thinks the only reason people carry guns is to be macho and manly and stuff like that. Yeah. Probably projection again. Okay, let's play spot the fallacy on this next one. Quote, ultimately, it doesn't matter whether you feel afraid or not. If you don't know the person, you don't know their intentions.
He's ignoring prior probability.
Well, he is doing that, and as a result, he's making a false equivalency, because the two options of he means no harm or he's all of a sudden going to turn around and start shooting people are not in any way equal. The prior probability is absolutely in favor of him just being a peaceful guy, who's not going to harm anyone else. You know, and the prior probability of him being an insane gunman is just incredibly low.
We should maybe post a study on that, too, so...
I don't know if you need a study other than just the crime reports. I mean, why do crime reports have to be made per 100,000 population just to get the numbers up to something reasonable to work with?
Point taken.
I quote, "If I feel fear and you don't, it makes no difference. If the stranger intends no harm, then we're both in the clear. If the person plans on shooting up the place, we both suffer. Our feelings toward the gun are irrelevant." Okay, so why did he make this big deal about his right not to feel terrorized, and now he says feelings are irrelevant?
His feelings matter.
Ah, but no one else's do. Yeah, I get it. The question is, are there reasonable things that can be done to try and reduce the number of gun deaths that happen in this country every day, every week, and every year? I think there are, but as I'm stating in the comic, people who share my opinion are losing the fight. Well, because you're just wrong. Every piece of data that exists shows that we're more protected the more peaceful people are allowed to carry firearms. And I mean, the only way they can make it look otherwise is to cherry pick, like picking arbitrarily like the US and the UK and saying that the US has the higher murder rate and higher violent crime rate, and ignoring things like the differences in how the two countries count violent crimes and things like that. So, no, cherry picking is not evidence. It doesn't count. Well, after this, people commented on this on Twitter, and I'm going to read out a couple of his tweets. Quote, "I'm going to Georgia next year, and I'm already planning to storm out of a restaurant without paying if someone with a gun comes in. I'm going to wear my special storming out sneakers and everything. That's why I'm secretly hoping for a gun person to come in so I can justify a dine and dash."
So wait, does he storm out often so he has those special...
I don't know. But here's the thing. If you announce it on Twitter ahead of time, you're not secretly hoping it. You're publicly hoping it. And since you're announcing your intention ahead of time, you can't use it as a justification. You know, imagine, I mean, if he gets caught and then put into court and is like, "He ran out of my restaurant without paying. Well, I was scared because a guy has a gun. Look at these tweets, Your Honor." You know, he was planning this. And he also tweeted, quote, "The point is to show the establishment owner that allowing guns is bad for business."
No, allowing you is bad for business. The guy with the gun is enjoying his meal. He's not skipping out on his check.
And it's all that that makes Mike Dawson this week's... How many octaves was that?
I don't know.
Well, that wraps up this I Always Wanted to Be a Lumberjack edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums at Bogosity.tv, where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the Bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@Bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Daniel Wilcox for joining me.
My pleasure.
Until next time, here's a quote from Abraham Lincoln. "Any people anywhere, being inclined and having the power, have the right to rise up and shake off the existing government and form a new one that suits them better. This is a most valuable, most sacred right, a right which we hope and believe is to liberate the world. Nor is this right confined to cases in which the whole people of an existing government may choose to exercise it. Any portion of such people that can may revolutionize and make their own of so much of the territory as they inhabit. More than this, a majority of any portion of such people may revolutionize, putting down a minority, intermingled with or near about them, who may oppose this movement." The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Imported License. Bogosity.
Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.
Are we talking about the same Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah, actually. It was much earlier. Of course, it was like 1848, and he was talking about Texas. So, I mean, he was a politician. As soon as the whole idea of secession went against what he wanted to do, then he went against secession, as opposed to changing what he wanted to do to match the principles that he espouses.